Tesla reports today, and Jerome Powell's probably going to give us a good little lesson on interest rates tomorrow. Buckle up for what to expect tomorrow, as well as with Tesla earnings later today. But first, updates on Israel. Right now, the Biden administration is suggesting that, quote, the other team, not Israel, was responsible for the attack on a hospital in the Gaza Strip, wherein Palestine alleges at least 500 individuals died. And ultimately, no matter who is responsible, the more war goes on, the more terror there is. Apparently, Israel's IDF just reported that two Palestinians were killed after protests in the West Bank. There is concern that if more of this conflict spreads now to the West Bank and to northern Israel, this conflict expands, and then the United States has to get involved as more conflicts grow with Israel and Hezbollah, at the same time as Israel is then overwhelmed from multiple different angles. That is one idea. A lot of people say, no, Israel is perfectly capable of defending all of their borders without American support. But let's be clear, America is still paying for all of the defensive weaponry. There's also a rumor that Hamas is potentially willing to give up all of their hostages in exchange for an end to the bombardment of the Gaza Strip. Individuals suggest that it is also forces within Palestine that are conducting their own bombardment, so maybe they should stop. For example, the missile battery or rocket battery that potentially contributed to the attack on the Gaza Strip hospital yesterday was seen on video as launching upwards of 8 to 10 different rockets in the direction of the hospital, with these rockets allegedly, supposedly, needing to fly beyond that hospital. And this is now leading some to say that either one of those rockets misfired and ended up hitting the hospital, or maybe an airstrike or a type of cruise missile or an interceptor missile from Israel tried locking onto this rocket, detonating this rocket midair, or at least part of it, leaving a fragment to end up hitting the hospital. The hospital wasn't targeted potentially from either side, and truly it was a mistake. Others say a second interceptor rocket from Israel potentially locked onto generators, electricity generators, given the lack of power in the region, and locked onto the hospital's heat generators rather than the rocket's heat generators. And when I say heat generators, I don't want to be clear. For the hospital, that's the purpose of you having electricity, but they also generate a lot of heat, okay? So maybe an interceptor rocket locked onto this instead and then attacked the hospital accidentally as these rockets were intended to cross over the hospital. The bottom line is nobody knows. What we do know with certainty, though, is that the Islamic Jihad, a group formed in 1981, and Hamas, a group formed in 1987, both, quite frankly, splinter cells off of, well, Islamic brotherhoods in Egypt, have a goal of liberating Palestine from the Jewish state. They don't like Israel. We know that with certainty. These groups are terror groups, and they hate Israel. That does not make everyone in Palestine evil, though. The poor citizens of Palestine are just now caught in between yet another religious, land, and cultural war. Now, here's a post from Israel's IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. They're suggesting that, hey, look, here's drone footage and satellite footage of the area, and our bombs are so good that they leave craters. But as you see here, there's a site of fire with cars being burned and buildings intact and no crater. If we had done it, there'd be a crater. But again, maybe this was an interception or who knows. Here's an example on the right side of craters, on the left side, no craters. This is a way for Israel to say, hey, look, this was definitely not us, which the Pentagon and the Biden administration agree with. Again, though, bottom line is, in war, more innocent people lose their lives. One thing that I do think is very interesting is Donald Trump has been very quiet on social media about, well, this hospital strike and, quite frankly, what to do. This is interesting because maybe the answer just isn't that clear cut. Anybody suggesting they have a definite answer probably has no idea what they're talking about. I don't know that anybody has a definite answer to ending this, but I just pray that it ends soon. In the meantime, Bank of America's Institute for Analysis shows that childcare costs are now 32% higher than in 2019. Apparently, the cost to raise an infant in America is now about $39.2 thousand per year to raise one infant. I got twins coming this month. Knock on wood. Apparently, the cost to raise a child in New York City has now risen to $45,400 per year, making it even harder for individuals to be convinced to have more children, which is something Elon Musk suggests is critical for the future success of America's population growth and more babies being born. Tesla earnings are today. We're expecting 73.5 cents of EPS with $24 billion of revenue. It's worth noting that Tesla has only beat on revenue 5 out of the 8 last times and only 50% of the time on EPS. Margins here are expected to come in at 18%. I think this is going to be what everybody pays attention to. Margins and free cash flow. We're knocking on the door last time of basically no free cash flow. Are we going to be, well, at least relative to prior quarters, free cash flow plummeted a lot. Maybe I shouldn't say no, but free cash flow substantially declined. The question is, will free cash flow go negative this quarter and will margins be worse or better? Most of the Tesla investors I talk to say, you know what? I'm not here for the next quarters. I'm here for the next years, if not even the next decade. So it really doesn't matter what happens today. I'll be covering it live. So either way, we'll get to react together. We're expecting 18% margin, that compares to 18.2% in the prior quarter and 19.3% before that. 7 out of 8 bets here are on net income are usually positive and turn out positive. So Tesla does usually beat on net income, but when it comes to the stock, well, I took a look at what Gary Black had to say about stock performance, and Tesla stock only rises 7 out of 16 times after earnings. In other words, less than half of the time. That doesn't surprise me. Usually it seems to be we get deliveries and there's at least some excitement, and then you get the bad news with earnings. It's kind of like you get the good news up front, and then earnings are always the bad news. Anyway, Jerome Powell speaks tomorrow at 9 a.m. in New York. Morgan Stanley is reporting that at this point, everything is pointing to a rebound, and the surge in the 10-year might actually end up dampening the need for the Federal Reserve to conduct 2 hikes. In other words, the dramatic surge we've seen is the equivalent, the dramatic surge in yields, is essentially the equivalent of 50 basis points worth of hikes from the Federal Reserve. The 10-year right now is sitting at 4.86. That's a high. That is not only local high over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, it's a local high going all the way back to the mid-2000s. So I like to think about these as local highs, though, and it just keeps going up, okay? Like 4.8 was the high, now it's 4.86, it just keeps going. At the same time, oil, Brent just broke $90 again, broke through that resistance at least today, now sitting at 1.28% up on the day. The concern is, will it go to $100 per barrel? Well, if you look at gold, bets of pain are ramping up. Gold now at 1966. The big question is, will it break 2000? It's up another 1.6% today. Some suggest that as treasury yields remain higher during this end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024, we could ultimately end up seeing bets actually rise that the Federal Reserve increases their rate cuts sooner. Although bets made on the Federal Reserve cutting rates anytime soon have almost always been wrong. And right now, based on at least what the markets are pricing in, we're still looking at being at least at 4.8% by December of 2024. That really only gives us about 0.5% of rate cuts. So while some people are like, hey, maybe we'll have higher for shorter thanks to these higher treasury yields, others are like, yeah, don't bet on it. Now, back when Ukraine was invaded by Russia, Jerome Powell called it a quote-unquote game changer. You kind of expect him to think the same thing now, except back then people thought that game changer might be, oh, maybe we won't raise rates anymore. And instead, it turned into, this could cause inflation. Let's raise rates even more. So we'll see what Jerome Powell says tomorrow about the Israel invasion. That's actually going to be the big piece of the puzzle that a lot of us are curious about. We know that Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve are trying to be data dependent, which is really just a fancy way of saying we have no freaking idea. Like, some data is good, some data is bad. You know, we look at what Bank of America is saying about consumer spending. We look at what other companies are saying about consumer spending. We look at what Bank of America analysts are saying about consumer spending. Here's, for example, an example or a research piece here. Bank of America, consumer spend collective, still no slowdown, and some specific examples. CEO of Bank of America on their earnings call suggested earnings growth, or I should say consumer spending growth, was somewhere around 8% at the beginning of 2023 year over year, falling to about 4% recently year over year, still growth. And if you go into the granular of some of these month over month numbers, specifically looking at debit card numbers, you're still seeing positive numbers, at least on the month over month basis, as well as the year over year basis. So there's this idea that maybe the consumer is just somehow able to keep spending despite the fact that, oh no, their excess savings may eventually evaporate. But then again, always remember, how much did we have in excess savings before the pandemic? Zero. Housing starts amidst this morning, but building permits meet, so a little bit of a plus or minus here. One thing I am noticing on the ground as we're looking for properties with house hack, and we're increasing the wedges that we're looking for right now to insulate house hack investors more. But one of the things that we're finding is that more and more flippers are starting to get what appears to be reamed. We're seeing massive price cuts from flippers who got in with short-term financing and in over their heads, and now they're trying to dump before the winter. Well, that's why we think November, December will be glorious. Anything that doesn't get snatched up will be ripe for picking in the winter of 2023. Anyway, learn more about my house hack real estate startup at househack.com. You could read the offering circular. We are accepting investments as low as $5,000 from non-accredited investors at househack.com. You can invest with a debit card, credit card, ACH, whatever's easier for you. It's all available at househack.com. Thank you so very much for watching this Bottom Line Report. We'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.
Why not advertise these things that you told us here? I feel like nobody else knows about this.
We'll try a little advertising and see how it goes.
Congratulations, man. You have done so much. People love you. People look up to you.
Kevin Paffrath there, financial analyst and YouTuber. Meet Kevin. Always great to get your take.